Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable wishing you a happy Thanksgiving. I pray that you'll stay tuned to a message today that I believe is going to both challenge and bless your heart. We are living in some pretty tough times, and we need to count our blessings now more than ever. We're still a blessed people, and if you know the Lord, you have God to help you through these times. And the Bible said, blessed is the man that hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help. And that means happy to be envied. So we want to be such people that that others may know that it really makes a difference, not only in eternity, but right here and now. Not just in the sweet by and by, but in the nasty here and now. We can have great hope and great faith and be filled with great gratitude for all the Lord has given us, both nationally here in America and personally, for those of us who know Christ in His kingdom. And you that are listening in other parts of the world, because that this station streams by computer, you may be living in a nation. Although we're having problems, you may still look at us as a very rich, blessed people. And oh, that we could see ourselves through those eyes and be filled with gratitude for the blessings that we receive and have received. Yeah, we're having some tough times economically here in America. I don't want to minimize that, but there are people in so many parts of the world that would be glad to trade problems with us and places with us. We are still a very blessed people, particularly if you know Jesus. If you're living in a third world country listening to this station, and you are in the midst of just abject poverty, I want you to know God loves you. He will make a way, some way. Hasn't He done it thus far? And you know what we're all told by the Lord? If having food and raiment, therewith be content, if we have Christ as our Savior. So I just want to encourage you today to be thankful this Thanksgiving for all of the spiritual and physical and mental and financial blessings that God has given us. And we want to talk to you today in just a few moments about the danger of ingratitude and the blessing of gratefulness. Hallelujah. Amen. We want to welcome you again to WMAF. To this station. This is a great station. I have great regard for a station that is unique in that it has its own niche. It classic gospel, classic country, classic tunes that take you back. It's kind of nostalgic when you come to WMAF. It takes us back to a more tranquil, more less complicated time. And that's good for the soul. Praise God. Amen. We know that you that are constant listeners to this station enjoy it. We wish you would tell other people about this station, for in so doing, they can also have the opportunity to listen to the ministries that are on this station. We are one of those ministries. There are other fine ministries broadcasting on WMAF. And you can actually become a media missionary, I like to term it. I've coined that phrase in the sense that that if you tell other people about this station and start listening to it, then these broadcasts such as this one, Let's Talk About Jesus, will be made available to them. And even if they live in another country, drop them an email. If they have a computer, this station streams 24/7, and they can just click in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. Just type in WMAF Home, and it'll take you to their homepage on Google or any of the good search engines, and they can get hooked up to this station and to this broadcast. Well, here we are in the Thanksgiving season, and we are going to enjoy a great day, I pray, a great meal, wonderful time. It's our tradition here in America. But the giving of thanks and the showing of gratitude for God's blessing is not a once-a-year event in the Christian community. It is a time of reflection, yes, on this particular day, but we give thanks every single day for all the Lord has done in our life. And there is a great danger if we do not recognize and appreciate all that the Lord has done and doing and what He's going to do. That's why I want to talk to you today about a wonderful subject and yet a very serious subject, and it's the danger of ingratitude and the blessing of gratefulness. There's a positive part of this message today as well. Heeding the warning will help us to really zero in on the positive blessing of just being grateful, maintaining and sustaining an attitude of gratitude for all the Lord has done. Romans chapter 1 is this warning from Scripture in verse 21 and 22. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to become wise, they became fools. An incredible little statement here, neither were they thankful. You know, even as Christians, we have to be very, very cautioned about maintaining an attitude of gratitude. Even when we pray about all of our problems to the Lord, the Scripture said, be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. But thanksgiving is a vital part of our prayer life, the giving of thanks. Ingratitude, unthankfulness is a serious sin that leads to a darkened heart if continued, and spiritual blindness. I like what the warning from a great writer, Warren Wiersbe, and he said, we get accustomed to our blessings. He said, I have felt for a long time that one of the particular temptations of the maturing Christian is the danger of getting accustomed to his blessings. Like the world traveler who's been everywhere and seen everything, the maturing Christian is in danger of taking his blessings for granted and getting so accustomed to them that they fail to excite him as they once did. Emerson said that if the stars came out only once a year, everybody would stay up all night to behold them. We've seen the stars so often we don't bother to look at them anymore. We've grown accustomed to our blessings. The Israelites in the wilderness got accustomed to their blessings, and God literally had to chasten his people. In Numbers chapter 11, God fed the nation with heavenly manna each morning, yet the people were getting used to it and then tired of it. They said, but now our whole being is dried up. They said, there's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes, in verse 6 of Numbers 11. Nothing but manna. They were experiencing a miracle of God's provision every morning, yet they were no longer excited about it. Nothing but manna. Oh, if the Church of Jesus Christ would get excited again about just being saved, knowing what you're saved and called to in eternity, and knowing what you're saved from, and be able once again in the enthusiasm and excitement that salvation is supposed to bring our hearts. If all of this is reality, amen, if heaven is real, and heaven is real, and hell is real, and if there's a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned, and we have gained heaven by receiving Christ as our personal Savior, or Lord and Savior, by repenting of our sin, and we have that assurance that eternity, age without end, we will not be tormented. We will be blessed beyond our wildest dreams. No sickness, no death, no bills, no recession, no depression, no heartache, no wars, no heartbreak. Our families will never be separated. Glory to God, no tears will be in that place. What a blessing just being saved is today. We need to get the excitement back and never, ever take for granted that we are saved as believers today. Praise God. One of the evidences that we've grown accustomed to our blessings is this spirit of criticism and complaining. Instead of thanking God for what we have, we complain about it and tell him we wish we had something else. You can be sure that if God gave us what we asked for, we would eventually complain about that. The person who has gotten accustomed to his blessing can never be satisfied. Another evidence of this malady is the idea that others have a better situation than we do. The Israelites remembered their diet in Egypt and longed to return to the cucumbers, melons, leeks, and onions and garlic, the flesh pots of Egypt. They were saying, the people in Egypt are so much better off than we are. Obviously, they had forgotten the slavery they had endured in Egypt and the terrible bondage from which God had delivered them. Slavery is a high price to pay for a change in diet. Sometimes it takes a crisis event to remind us of the blessings that we have taken for granted. During the recent spike in gas prices, I'll tell you, when I saw gas for just over or just barely under $2 a gallon recently, I thought, boy, I died and went to heaven. Praise God. Amen. I just thank the Lord. I remember when I thought that was extraordinary and high. Now I think, what a blessing. Sometimes it takes a crisis for us to appreciate our blessings. If you are working on a job and you work hard every day, but you got a job and maybe you're having to work a little OT because you've got so much work to accomplish. There's so many people out of work that job that once was just something, you know, we sing the little song, I owe, it's off to work I go. Amen. And on Monday, instead of getting up and saying, good morning, Lord, we get up and say, good Lord, morning. But in the times that we are living, maybe we are finding a place for thankfulness and gratitude in our hearts. For even the job, it does take our time. It does demand much of our energy, but it provides for our families and our daily needs. And you that have secure employment, just ask someone that's been out of work for several months and they're looking for work and all of the complications that brings, or someone out from under medical coverage praying they won't have a major medical event that could just wreck them completely financially. There's so many things that we need to look around and see that God has blessed us with. I love the story about the complainer and the goat. In Budapest, a man goes to the rabbi and complains, life is unbearable. There are 9 of us living in one room. What can I do? The rabbi answers, take your goat into the room with you. The man is incredulous, but the rabbi insists, do as I say and come back in a week. A week later, the man comes back looking more distraught than before. We cannot stand it, he tells the rabbi. The goat is filthy. The rabbi then tells him, go home and let the goat out. And he came and come back in a week, and he came back in a week. A radiant man returns to the rabbi a week later, exclaiming, life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it now that there's no goat, only the 9 of us. Praise God. Sometimes things have to happen to accentuate the things that we have forgotten that are so positive and good in our life. In 2 Timothy 3:1, there's a list of attitudes that would characterize the culture in the last days. And amongst all of these negative attitudes that would be in our culture, listen to it. This also know that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitor, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In the midst of all of these attitudes that are against all that God teaches us and tells us that we should be, is unthankfulness. It is a serious sin. It can lead to spiritual blindness and bondage. It can lead to deep depression, even though we are so very, very blessed. And as Christians, we're to live our lives in sharp contrast to the world by worshiping and serving God with hearts of true gratitude. I love Psalm 100. It's a very appropriate psalm to read, particularly at Thanksgiving time. But it's a psalm of thanksgiving and for the thank offering. Listen to what it says. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Amen. The reason for all of this pure, wonderful praise is gratitude for what the Lord is doing. We're the sheep of his pasture. We're the people of his hand. Praise God. For the Lord is good, verse 5 says, his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 100 is a mandate to praise and to thank God for all of his blessings, especially the blessing of belonging to him. Did you know when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, God becomes the God, the Creator of the universe, the Judge of all flesh, becomes our Heavenly Father. We are brought into his royal family. This is not about how much money is your bank account, or whether your clothes are Armani or Salvation Army. That's not about this. This is about God providing clothing for you and food for you and shelter for you, taking care of you, and above all, that you have a reconciled relationship with God through Jesus Christ, where he accepts us as his very own. Hallelujah. There's a reason to be joyful and shout his praise today. Number one, we need to make a joyful noise like the psalm said unto the Lord. If you could hear me singing in the shower to God, you may turn the radio down. You might turn it off, but God turns it up. Amen. He enjoys my praise, even though, especially on a Monday after preaching two services on Sunday, I'm kind of croaking a little bit. And you can tell my voice cracks sometimes now while I'm talking, but I want you to know I've been using it for over 35 years for the proclaiming of the gospel. And in our church services, we don't just preach, we praise him. Hallelujah. Our services are bookended. We begin with praise and worship. We end with praise and worship, an afterglow time of praising and worshiping him. And sandwiched in between those two great praise and worship services is the word of God. Hallelujah. And sometimes my song is nothing more than a joyful noise. It is a noise, but it's a joyful noise. Hallelujah. This is an expression of our reaction to God's goodness to us. Like the squeal of delight from a child who opens that big box on Christmas morning. Hallelujah. A heart of gratitude shouts for joy. Listen to Psalm 89. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. And that word joyful in this verse of scripture in the Hebrew means the blast of a trumpet. To literally shout for joy. You won't find this sound in the first church of the refrigerator with a polar bear in the pulpit and ice cubes in the pew. This shout for joy, this squeal of delight, is only heard where there is true appropriation of our faith and deep appreciation for God's mercy and his many blessings to our lives. Listen to the joyful noise in Ezra. In the Old Testament, and a chapter 3 and verse 10. And the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord and set priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. Remember, David said, if you want to bless God, then he danced before him with all of his might. Amen. David knew how to express gratitude to the Lord. Verse 11 said, and they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good and his mercy endureth forever, forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud voice, and the noise was heard afar off. I remember when we pastored for over 25 years in a community in Sulphur Springs. We've moved since then, but we're still in Tampa. I still remember going into a department store in Tampa, and a stranger in the parking lot, a stranger to me, they obviously knew us, the church, and knew me, a stranger in the parking lot said, "Aren't you the pastor of that loud church in North Tampa? We used to stand outside and just listen." I'm not talking about holy hype nor mere human emotion. I'm talking about true spiritual joy from hearts filled with gratitude. Verse 2 said, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." A heart of gratitude serves, worships with gladness. This is how we worship God with grateful hearts. This is the way we obey and live for him. We do not serve him with a solemn heart, but rather with a singing heart. Isaiah 51:3, it says, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." Praise the Lord. I like the NIV. It says thanksgiving and the sound of singing. One paraphrase said, "A place filled with exuberance and laughter, thankful voices and melodic songs. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to Ephesians 5, verse 17 through 20. Are you getting ready for Thanksgiving? I'm about to get shouting happy sitting in this chair. Praise God. Amen. Listen to this. Ephesians 5, 17 through 20. "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Listen now. Listen to this. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus." Giving thanks always, hallelujah, "for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is worship that God enjoys, not just endures. It's coming from a heart of gratitude. I want to challenge you today to just praise God anyhow, and to thank him that he's there for you. If you've lost everything, thank God you haven't lost God. Amen. He can give you a new beginning. He can build back into your life. In fact, the Bible said he'll give you beauty for ashes. And as a result of that, the oil of joy for mourning, that's something he does to heal that broken heart within you. And then it goes on to say that he will give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? When God gives you beauty for ashes, all is ruin, and yet he brings something so wonderful into your life out of that ruin. He will give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Praise the Lord. Verse 4 says, to enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. A heart of gratitude blesses his name. Job, in his misery and confusion, maintained a thankful heart that sustained him from discouragement and depression. Job 1:21 said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. When we consistently lift up the name of the Lord, we ascribe unto him faithfulness and sovereignty. No matter what happens, we extol him and exalt his name. Someone has said truthfully that true thanksgiving has nothing at all to do with the immediate circumstances of life, but everything to do with our vision of God. Is our God faithful? Can we trust his promises? According to Romans 8:28, you can today. For Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. We must know by faith, settle it in our hearts. Don't give up on God. Bless his name and praise him anyway. I like the story in closing today of a man. It's supposed to be a true story, who advertised in the newspaper for his wife's lost cat and offered a $5,000 reward for the cat's return. The clerk, taking the ad, said unto the husband, that's a rather risky thing to do. Somebody might find that cat and claim that reward. That's a lot of money. No, that won't happen, said the husband confidently. But you never know, responded the clerk, and $5,000 is a lot of money for a cat. To which the husband replied calmly and matter-of-factly, when you know what you know, you can afford to be extravagant. I accidentally run over our cat and buried it myself. Folks, when we Christians know what we know about the love of God, there is no fear to life and its troubles. When we know what we know about the power of God, there is no uncertainty about the conditions and circumstances of our being. When we know what we know about the eternalness of Christ, there's no despair about our future. When we know what we know, there's no need to be discouraged. The Christian life gives us an alternative to discouragement. The Christian life gives us confidence in the outcome. Praise God. Job didn't know what else was going to happen in his life, but he knows, amen, that his God is faithful in the end. William Law said, would you know who the greatest saint in the world is? It's not he who prays and fasts the most, nor he who gives the most, but it's he who is always thankful to God, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness, and has a heart always ready to praise God for it. Folks, let's trust the Lord and praise him anyway. Be thankful unto him and let's bless his name this Thanksgiving season. And if you're listening today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, here's how the Bible describes you. It describes you as being without hope and without God in this present world. In other words, there will be a time come, and a circumstance will come, when you can't extract yourself from what you're facing. But if you know Christ is your Savior, God becomes your Heavenly Father. And the Scripture said that things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And with God, nothing will be impossible, and there is nothing impossible to him that believeth, Jesus taught us. And we believe God because we are his children. We're in his family. I would like to invite you into this great Christian family. We have our struggles, we have our faults, we have our failures, but we have our God, and He is faithful. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you bow your head right where you are, repent of your sin, and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and let this Thanksgiving be based on something more than the turkey on the table, the sports event on the television, how big or how small your bank account. This Thanksgiving, thank God that you know Him and that He promised to never leave you nor forsake you, not only in this world, but in the world to come. Oh, have a great Thanksgiving. Find time out of all the activities to give God glory, and come back next week and let's talk about Jesus. We love you today. God bless you.